From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Just 6 weeks before a national election, the two major U.S. party presidential nominees clashed over the economy, tax policy, race relations, and foreign policy in a televised debate at New York's Hofstra University. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee, blamed policies of the George W. Bush administration for creating the dire economic conditions inherited by President Barack Obama when he took office in 2009.
Remember where we were 8 years ago. We had the worst financial crisis, the Great Recession, the worst since the 1930s. That was in large part because of tax policies that slashed taxes on the wealthy, failed to invest in the middle class, took their eyes off of Wall Street, and created a perfect storm.
Donald Trump, a wealthy New York businessman and the Republican nominee, accused Hillary's husband, former President Bill Clinton, of agreeing to a bad trade deal with Mexico and Canada.
The NAFTA agreement is defective just because of the tax and many other reasons. Secretary Clinton and others, politicians, should have been doing this for years. What's happened to our jobs and our country and our economy generally is, look, we owe $20 trillion. We cannot do it any longer.
Trump vowed to renegotiate what he called bad trade deals that take away American jobs. Opinion polls show the race to November 8th close. Elections in Somalia are being delayed again over security concerns. Voting for the parliament was set to start this weekend with the appointment of a president October 30th. Facing a threat from the Al-Shabaab movement, the parliamentary ballot is being pushed back to the beginning of October 23rd. Presidential nomination November 30th. This is VOA News. The embattled Syrian city of Aleppo sustained more airstrikes Monday, killing dozens in the rebel-held eastern district. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the innocent are often the targets of these strikes.
Over the weekend, we saw the specific targeting of the headquarters or staging areas used by the White Helmets, the relief organization, the first responders in Syria that are just trying to provide for the basic needs and safety and well-being of citizens who are caught in the crossfire.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the government of President Bashar al-Assad and its Russian allies seem intent on taking Aleppo and destroying it in the process. He discounted a report that the Assad government is prepared to take part in a unity coalition. Syria's Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualim, in a Lebanese television interview, blamed the U.S. for the renewed fighting and challenged Washington to provide evidence it's serious about separating out rebel groups not covered by the collapsed U.S.-Russia ceasefire. Iran says it's released a retired Canadian-Iranian professor detained on security charges since June. A foreign ministry spokesman said Homa Hoodfaris released on humanitarian grounds. The 65-year-old Hoodfar, who was most recently taught at Concordia University of Montreal, was arrested after a visit to Evin prison in Tehran. A final peace agreement between Colombia's government and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, was signed Monday, bringing an end to the longest-running insurgency in the Western Hemisphere. The conflict, which erupted in 1964, displaced millions and left more than 250,000 dead. Numerous heads of state and diplomats were on hand for the ceremony, among them U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry.
This is an enormous step forward to end the longest-running war in this hemisphere, one of the longest in the world. So we care about the stability, we care about ending the violence, we care about building the capacity of Colombia itself to continue to contribute to the stability of the hemisphere.
Kerry said now that the peace pact has been signed, the U.S. could remove FARC from its terrorism list. The U.S. Monday called on Vietnam to release a land rights activist and two bloggers from prison. Mark Toner is a U.S. spokesman.
The use of criminal provisions by Vietnamese authorities to penalize individuals for exercising their right to freedom of expression, which is provided by Vietnam's constitution, is, as I said, troubling.
Vietnamese blogger Nguyen Hu Vinh and his assistant lost their appeal last week when a court upheld their jail terms. Another court last week sentenced Khan T. Tu to 20 months in jail for causing public disorder. Japan's top naval officer said he's open to engaging his Chinese counterparts after dozens of Chinese warplanes flew over the Miyako Strait near disputed islands.
That's the latest world news from VOA.